Welcome to Total Health Transformation Podcast, hosted by Dr. Danny Scarhill. Dr. Danny is a doctor of chiropractic, an author, speaker, and trainer. And on the THT podcast, he interviews other health experts to glean further insights that will help you achieve total health transformation.
Welcome to the Total Health Transformation Podcast. My name's Dr. Danny Scarhill, the founder of DannyScarhill.com, the author of Total Health Transformation, the proven system to unlock limitless energy, motivation, and health, and the creator of the Total Health Transformation programs. Let's get straight into it on this episode. Hi, welcome to this episode. We've got another fantastic guest for you, Heidi Brown. Heidi is a chiropractor, business owner, and a coach. Despite building a thriving well-being practice with great client retention, she struggled with self-confidence, never feeling good enough. Over the years, she found it essential to do deep inner work, knowing it must be possible to feel more comfortable in her own skin. This ongoing adventure has allowed her to transform her self-worth and discover her gift and passion for helping others do the same. She's recently sold her chiropractic business to focus solely on coaching and retreats, where she can gently challenge you to go deep within yourself, identify your blocks, so you can ultimately express more of yourself and uncover more of your gift. Welcome to the THT podcast, Heidi. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. Good stuff. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, well, I guess it started with you, actually, in terms of my professional career. We were at university together studying chiropractic, for those who don't know that. So we graduated, I'm dating us a little bit here, but 2006, wasn't it? And I loved chiropractic and everything about it, the philosophy, the lifestyle. I was just sold from the get-go. But I found the actual day-to-day of how do I translate all that passion and understanding into how to deliver that to clients, I found that really quite challenging. And I think that was a mix of some probably gaping holes in our education, but also more than that, I think just my own self-worth and confidence in myself and trust in myself, I really struggled in those areas. And that just made showing up as a chiropractor quite a difficult thing to do. So luckily in chiropractic, I mean, we've got all these amazing seminars and wonderful speakers so we can go and get inspired. And my God, I went to everything, like almost every weekend I was at another seminar, just desperate to find like the answer, the thing that was gonna make sense, the technique, the communication, whatever it needed to be to make me feel just that little more confident so that I could enjoy the day to day a bit more. And I think when you're looking at these things from the point of view of feeling like you're a little bit broken, it just doesn't work. So I was constantly disappointed, really. I would go to these seminars, it was amazing, and then I would just get back in practice and just feel crappy about what I had created, because it wasn't, I didn't think, as good as what the speakers were doing from the stage. And at some point I ended up running my own business, my own chiropractic practice, and that, I mean, I was already overwhelmed, so that, you know, suddenly running a business, running a team, all that stuff added a ton more pressure on. But it did open me up more to business coaching, to personal development, which helped me. Like, it definitely gave me a different outlook on life and I think almost a different vocabulary to look at things. But I was still coming from it from this place of, I'm not good enough, I'm broken, I need fixing. And it wasn't until, gosh, it must be 3-4 years ago that I went on a week-long retreat in Ireland called Brave Soul. And that was really where I got the first notion that maybe chiropractic wasn't the thing that I should be doing. And I remember at the end of this week-long retreat, I just felt so amazing. And I kind of announced to the group, like, I think I want to sell my business, which was such a, like, it surprised me, because chiropractic and being a business owner had been such a huge part of my identity up until then. And looking back, I wasn't really saying, I don't want to be a chiropractor anymore. I was really saying, on this retreat, I feel so alive and light and authentic and in tune, and it feels amazing. And I don't want to go back to this life that I've created, this practice that I've created that feels so heavy. So of course I did go back into regular life and didn't immediately think I want to sell my practice, but it just got me thinking, like, well, if I wasn't going to do this, you know, is there something more aligned with who I am and what I want to do? And it must have been about 9 months, a year later, I was listening to a podcast and I heard the chap being interviewed. He said that your greatest gift lies right next to your deepest wound. And that was such a pivotal moment for me, because I had spent this time kind of trying to uncover, well, what is my gift? You know, if it isn't chiropractic, what am I here to do? And I just wasn't really getting any answers. But when I could use my internal struggles, my pain, my wounds as a guide, with those, I was like, oh, well, I'm super familiar with all of that stuff. So I remember just there and then, like, journaling on all of that stuff. And it, within a few minutes, it became crystal clear that what I felt I was here to do was life coaching, was to do that really deep, deep personal development work with people. And from then, it took quite a while, but that started the process of really realizing that even though chiropractic will always be this huge part of me, it's the way that I live my life, but that I didn't want to do that day to day. And I just recently have sold my business and now I'm doing the coaching full time.
Excellent. That's quite some journey you've been on, isn't it?
Hearing it back like that, it really is.
It's really interesting, isn't it? You know, you never really know what's going on in somebody's head, do you? Because I've known you for the best part of 20 years now, and I never would have put you down as having lacking confidence and self-worth and stuff. So you never really know what people are thinking in their own head, do you?
It's fascinating, isn't it? And I think that's one of the problems. You know, we go to seminars or we meet in the pub, you know, whatever it might be, and we have these surface level conversations. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm fine. How are you? You know, and it's all bullshit, isn't it? It really is. And I hate that surface level stuff. I think one of the reasons why I'm so drawn to coaching is because I love spending time with people in that real, raw, authentic, this is the real shit that's going on. And anything else from that, I just feel, it just makes me feel icky somehow. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah. I love how in conversation, you swear a fair bit. I remember if we go back to when we were in university, in 5 years, I don't think I ever heard you swear at all. And now a couple of times in the last 10 minutes, it's brilliant. Good stuff.
Hilarious.
Excellent. Hilarious. Cool. So if you were to go over and kind of restart your health journey right back from the beginning, whether it's like very, very young or in your teens, what would you say to your younger self about doing things differently, perhaps?
Yeah, great, great question. I think probably the most important thing that I needed to hear, and that I think other people need to hear, is just you're going to be okay. Like, just take a breath and relax a little bit. I think when people are interested in health and bettering themselves, it is very easy to get obsessed with this idea of perfect nutrition, perfect exercise, perfect positive mindset. And any deviation from that, we feel like we're failing. And so it becomes this yo-yo journey of striving to do something, not achieving it. Feeling not great about ourselves, dropping back down into those negative habits. And we do this. Or certainly for me, I ended up missing the joy of life because I was always after a result rather than just enjoying the journey, as cliched as that sounds. But in my experience, that has been true. And as I've done more work on myself and learned to accept who I am and the way that I am, suddenly those choices that I want to make, it's so much easier because I'm doing it from a place of self-love rather than beating myself up. So suddenly the changes are much more sustainable. And when I do, fall off the wagon, which undoubtedly I do, rather than that turning into like a 5-day chocolate binge, which would be kind of what I would do, now it's half a day or an hour or a day or 2 days. And then I enjoy the binge. I just think, this is clearly what my body needs at the moment. And then it's so easy to be like, okay, I'm ready to make different choices now.
Yeah, it's a good point you make there. Like, when you've been doing work on yourself for a long time, that doesn't mean you don't have bad days. It's just you can usually get yourself out of the shit much, much quicker, can't you? Yeah. Like you've just referred to there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, it sounds so simple, but that is a game changer. I think when you're looking at business, productivity, success, health, anything there is, you're always going to deviate from what you want. And the difference between success and failure, which I don't like those terms, but you know what I mean. It's just how quickly you can get back onto your course.
Absolutely. Now, I seen a video of yours quite recently about some tips to quickly get yourself out of if you're having a bad day. Can you share those couple of tips with us? Because I thought they were really cool.
Yeah, thank you. That's funny. Yes, it was a really recent video, wasn't it? It was one of those days where I just woke up grumpy. I was like, oh, damn it, this is annoying. And I think what is hugely important is to first of all recognize that you're feeling grumpy or it's a bad day or depressed or whatever it is just to recognize it. I think we're wired to want to avoid pain. So if you wake up in a bad mood, rather than looking at that and thinking, okay, why am I feeling like this? Let's dig into that a little bit. We just go, okay, let's get busy. And we choose to numb ourselves, whether that is the busyness of the life that we have created, which is maybe a bigger picture problem of how we live our lives to numb from how we're feeling. But whether it's that, or whether it's TV or chocolate or alcohol or whatever it might be, rather than looking at what's going wrong, we numb from it. So the first thing is have the awareness that you're not feeling great and give yourself a little bit of space to, whether it's journal or meditate or get out for a walk or get your feet in the earth to ground, whatever your technique is to just get a little bit still and quiet. And tune in to why you're feeling that way. And that awareness, sometimes that's enough to just snap you out of it. But if it's not, and the other day for me, it really was not, what I really recommend that people do is on a day when they are feeling wonderful about life, we all have, whilst we all have bad days, we all have those other days where we just wake up and we're like, ah, it's amazing today. on one of those days, I would make a list of all of the stuff that I can do to help me to feel good. And you want on there some things that are super quick and easy, you know, close my eyes and take 3 deep breaths, which takes, I don't know, 30 seconds, you know, some real quick wins that you can do. And then it can be longer stuff as well, you know, have a chat with a friend, do a half hour meditation, you know, whatever it is for you. If you have those written out on a list when you're feeling fabulous, then when you're having one of those crappy days, when you're not going to feel inspired to think, oh, I'm just going to do some healthy, wonderful thing, you can go to your list and just think, right, what do I fancy doing that's on my list? And do that one. And that might be enough to shift you out of it. If it's not, do the next one, do the next one, do the next one, and just stack those positive things on top of each other. And almost always, at some point, that works to shift you out of a bad day. And I think, you know, so often, certainly for me, I don't know about you, but if I'm having a bad day, sometimes there's that real feeling of like, I want to stay in a bad mood, like nothing's going to make me feel better today. We get kind of attached to it. And definitely for me, you know, the other day is a really recent example. I think the first thing I did was this gorgeous meditation. And I did the meditation and I actually really managed to get into it and enjoy it. And I was breathing out, you know, love and gratitude from my heart. You know, it was this lovely thing. But as soon as the meditation was over, it was like right here next to me was my bad mood. And I was like, do I want to pick that up again or am I done with it? And I was like, damn, no, I want to pick that back up again. And it wasn't as bad, but I certainly picked it back up again. And then just bit by bit, as I worked through my list, it just got less and less until eventually it was vanished and I felt great again.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing those. They're really, really simple things, but super quick wins if you implement them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. You know, as you were growing up and throughout your different roles you've done and the work that you've done, who have you found to be your inspiration and role models and why?
So in recent times, I think Philip McKernan, who ran that week-long retreat I did in Ireland, Brave Soul, he's definitely been my biggest influence without a doubt. He's introduced me to this work that is just so much more authentic and real and transformative than anything that I've ever done. So he is right up there. And I definitely really lean on the work of Brené Brown and Peter Crone, Tony Robbins, some of his work. I'm going through his coaching program at the moment. Those are more recently some of my biggest influences. And I'm thinking via chiropractic, Joe Dispenza, DeMartini, I've done a lot of their work as well. And that's been really transformative as well.
Yeah, I've done loads of work with DeMartini. He's such the man's a legend in my mind. Yeah. And Joe Dispenza, I've been doing, Claire introduced me to a Joe Dispenza meditation, actually. The morning meditation, it's called. And
gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really nice. At first, I didn't know what to make of it, but I listened to it a couple more times and then I really got into it. Because it sounds like you've been doing a lot of meditation over the last, I don't know, several years. I know I have myself for the last 10 years. How about you?
Yeah, so my practice is not nearly as committed and regular as yours is. I would say that I dip in and out of it. But I love the morning and evening Joe Dispenza ones, which are, I don't know, they're 20, 25 minutes. So I do those really quite regularly. And I do, have you heard of Brain Tap?
Yeah, I used to have the Brain Tap with the headphones and stuff. Have you got a kit of you?
So yeah, so I use that. And my experience with meditation, and I think it must have been, 8 or 9 years ago that I was introduced to meditation. And I could not sit for even a minute without just like my body was just vibrating with it, with a need to move and get up, and I just hate it. Like, I just really struggled. And I found that using the brain tap, which I came across kind of quite early on, you, the lights and the binaural beats and all that bit, it almost to me felt like a cheat's way to meditate.
Okay.
And I found that doing that, it must have got my brain wired up in a particular way, in a very easy way, to allow me to start to meditate. And I must have used that for about 6 months pretty regularly. And then suddenly from there, I was able to do just the guided meditations or even just being with my breath. Suddenly I could sit for an hour and do that. Not no problem, but I was able to do that. So that was a huge change for me.
Excellent. Yeah, because it's really important to meditate, and it's becoming more and more popular, is probably the wrong word, but common, which is a great thing, isn't it? It can only be a good thing for society.
Yeah. I think it's wonderful. And I don't feel like meditation is the answer for everyone. I think there are lots of different things that you can do that will allow you to live a better, happier, more aligned, authentic life. But I think meditation is a great way to do it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So in your practice lifetime as a chiropractor, and also probably more relevantly as a coach, what have you found to be the relationship between people's emotions and then the choices that they make?
I think it's everything. I think emotions drive everything. And as humans, what we tend to do is feel an emotion and then get up in our head and try and justify our decision with logic. So we try and pretend to ourselves that it's this well thought out idea. But really, I think every single decision that we make is driven by our emotions. It impacts everything.
Absolutely. There's an old phrase, isn't it? We people, human beings, buy on emotion and justify with logic. Pretty much exactly what you've just said, which is very prevalent in the sales world, because people understand, or the experts understand, that people buy on emotion and they'll find a way to justify it, won't they? It's the same thing with emotion, isn't it? As you've just mentioned.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So you do are involved in something with Philip McKernan, aren't you, called One Last Talk? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's Philip McKernan's concept, this one last talk process, and he now has a book around it that can walk you through the process as well. And the premise of it is that you have 15 minutes or less to deliver the one last talk that you will ever give on this earth. And it's all focused around you and your personal journey. It isn't Donald Trump or COVID, which is very topical right now, or, you know, global warming. It's none of that stuff. It's about you, your story, your truth, how that has shaped you. And Philip was running those mainly in America, which is where he's living at the moment. And I've run a few events in England. And of course, at the moment, we're now looking to bring that more online. So I helped Philip with the first online version of that. And I'm planning to run one of those myself in a few months' time to really walk people through that process. And what we found is, or what I found to be true, is if people have already done a lot of personal development work themselves, the book is enough for them to really dig deep and deliver a beautiful talk that can really impact themselves first and foremost, and also others. Whereas if you're newer to the work, I think it's really important to have someone guide you through it, so that the blind spots, the bits that you can't see, the bits that you don't quite have full awareness of, you can be helped through that process So that's what I really like about bringing it as an online process. It's almost like a mini coaching program to go through to really start that journey of uncovering your story, what's shaped you, the shames you have, all of those sorts of things, and start to really shift those in a powerful way.
That sounds really great. Remember reading, I presume he's got loads of books, but the one of his main books, I think I inherited a copy from Claire from the UCA because they stock it, don't they? Some of the questions in that, which I went through it as I was reading it, were really, really deep. It is proper deep work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which I'd done similar stuff before, but it was quite nice to read kind of, or be challenged with different questions. There might have been similarities, but they were different, do you know what I mean? So it was a great book and great, great exercises in it.
Yeah. And for me, in terms of, you know, your own personal development and growth, there is nothing more powerful in that than asking the right question. And it needs to be done in a context where you can allow that question to really land with you and really allow it to uncover things. But I think there's, yeah, a really simple, beautiful question can uncover so much for you.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for taking out some time to be with us on the THT podcast today, Heidi. Really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to catch up.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has. I think over drinks at a seminar a few years ago would have been the last time.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I would imagine so. So for those people that want to find out a bit more about you and connect with you, where's the best place for them to find you, Heidi?
The best place is to either go to my website, which is heidibrown.co.uk, or find me on Facebook or Instagram, which is Heidi Brown Coach.
Excellent. Good stuff. So thanks again, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Absolutely. Cheers, Dan. It's been great.
Likewise.
You've been listening to the THT podcast with myself, Dr. Danny Scarhill. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or any one of the other outlets where we stream. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/totalhealthtransformation. You can also find more information about myself on my website, dannyscarhill.com, where you'll find lots of fantastic information and some free products for you as well. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Take care. All the best.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the Total Health Transformation Podcast, helping you to eat, move, and think on purpose. See you on our next episode.